Welcome to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Coach Callahan and Matt Harmon will talk Monmouth Hawks football with a look back at this past weekend's game and ahead at what's coming up next. Live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch, here's Matt Harmon and Coach Cal on News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
A little bit of a buzz around campus this week. It is homecoming week coming this Saturday in West Long Branch as Monmouth will take their 4-1 record and square off against Columbia. Hi, and good evening, everyone, from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Along with the head coach, Kevin Callahan, I am Matt Harmon. On the show tonight, we'll bounce around a little bit of everything tonight. We'll kick it off with freshman offensive lineman Alex Thompson, kicker Lucas Santangelo in our middle spot, and defensive lineman and senior Zach Irizarry in the last spot. And as we do each and every week, the beginning part of the show, talk about last week's Monmouth game, and the Hawks continuing to roll a little bit right now. The offense certainly finding its stride. Defense was one of its better games in recent memory. It all added up to a 51-20 win out in Moon Township against old NEC foe Robert Morris. Coach, I'm sure you'd be able to pick this one apart in great detail, but overall a very solid performance for your team.
I thought it was a very solid performance, Matt. I thought it was a very clean performance and the type of game where each of the units, the offense, the defense, and the special teams all complemented one another throughout the course of the game. I was pleased the way the defense came up with a number of turnovers, 6 to be exact, and created positive field position for our offense. Our offense was able to finish drives, and when we weren't able to get the ball in the end zone, we did an excellent job in the kicking game with Lucas Santangelo hitting 3 field goals and a number of extra points, and we'll get a chance to hear from him a little bit later on. But I thought it was a very balanced game in terms of the three units. It was a game that, you know, we were certainly in control of early on and really got out to a big lead before Robert Morris was able to score a few late touchdowns.
First time since 2006 at Monmouth opening up their season at 4-1. And Coach, I feel like this team's got some confidence to them right now, and I really saw it up close and in person out at Moon Township. You know, the nail-biter game against Lehigh, maybe one of those that could have went one way or the other, but I felt like off of that game, you guys were primed for a big win against Robert Morris, and to me, the team completely delivered offensive numbers off the charts again, 78 plays for 523 yards. Brandon Hill continues to do a great job of mixing the ball around to a bunch of different receivers. Big plays to Neil Sterling. LaVon Chaney with another great day, not only out of the backfield, but carrying the ball as well 22 times.
Right. Well, I think that this team should have some confidence. Based on what's happened the last couple of weeks, you know, scoring in the fourth quarter at the finishing seconds of the Lehigh game and then going out against Robert Morris and really jumping on them early and putting them away very early on in the contest is certainly cause for this group to feel good about what they're doing. The thing that I like most about this team, Matt, is the fact that they've grown each and every week. We're still a very young team in a lot of areas. We're still learning. We're still developing. But we have made that development. We have seen that growth each and every week, and the performances seem to be getting better and better. And that's really what our goal is, to keep moving forward, keep raising the level of expected performance, keep playing at a higher level each and every week.
We'll talk about some individual performance on this day on the defensive side of the ball. Another big day for the linebacking core. You know, a little bit shorthanded going into the game without Anthony McDonough, but Peyton Minnick, 11 tackles. John Sikowski, 9 tackles. Those guys were all over the field. Tyler Thompson, Dan Sullivan both had big days. When you have all of your linebackers making the tackles, I mean, it certainly starts with the guys up front, but that's how a 4-3 defense is designed. Those guys to be free, go sideline to sideline, and I feel like that group is where the experience lies, and they are really playing pretty well.
Well, that was their best game to date, certainly on the 2014 season. I thought the two guys in the middle, both Dan and Tyler, did an excellent job and had just about 20 tackles between them. And then the guys on the outside who saw a lot of plays on the day, and Peyton Minnick and John Sikowski, I thought played exceptional. And, you know, they were physical. They were around the ball. They were making plays from start to finish. And as I said, the most complete game that the linebacking unit has played to date.
And talk about some of the big plays as well. Derek Abbott, the Robert Morris quarterback, starting in his first game in his collegiate career. And he took a beating all day long. Was sacked 7 times, threw a couple of interceptions, one for Kevin Butler, then went all the way back, another for Mike Basile, who was recognized again as the Big South rookie or freshman of the week. So that's what you want out of your defense. You know, early on in the season, I felt like, okay, you had said, well, don't really go by the numbers because we're getting pressure on the quarterback, but teams are doing things to kind of negate that. On this day, it was almost throw the numbers out again, and those guys are going to go out and get some stats.
Well, the things really came together on the defensive side of the ball out in Moon Township, Matt. As we talked about, the linebackers had an exceptional day. I thought the front four, or the seven or eight guys who make up the front four, did a great job of putting pressure on the quarterback. And even when we didn't sack him, we had a number of knockdowns. We were able to force him out of the pocket where he had to throw on the run on several occasions. And that certainly made the coverage much easier. And then we had some great plays in the secondary. Mike Basile's interception on a fade ball coming off the hash in a two-deep coverage. He returned it about 60 yards and almost got into the end zone, but set up a scoring opportunity for the offense. And then again, Kevin Butler with the quarterback under pressure picks one off and takes it back for a touchdown. So when you score on defense, it's usually going to be a good day.
And nice in some of these longtime NEC rivalry games. You know, not to say that Monmouth and Robert Morris will never play again, but at least for the foreseeable future, to close out with a win. It was the one team that Monmouth did not have a winning record against in program history in terms of the Northeast Conference. Now 10 each way. And I would imagine this one, you know, like last week against Lehigh, but a little different feel because there was so much familiarity between the two teams.
There was. As you and I spoke about last Tuesday, Matt, there was a great deal of familiarity between Robert Morris and Monmouth. There's a team that we've played for 19 years and a team that we've come to know very well. We know their staff. We know the type of football that they play. And I think our team did as well. And to go out and have such a dominating performance and come away from there, the final time that they're on the schedule, at least up to this point, with a big W, was very, very important for our team.
Offensive-wise, a lot of the questions going into this one with a little bit of a mix-and-match offensive line again, with how will LeVon Cheney deal with his first start at the running back position. 22 carries for him, 113 yards, two touchdowns, caught four balls out of the backfield, continues to be among the top guys in the Big South in yards per game overall. I would have to think that in terms of first start, a very high passing grade for him.
We're very happy with what LeVon did out there. And, you know, I think we saw it with him with the ball in his hands carrying it. And as always, he's a threat to catch the ball coming out of the backfield. And he had several different types of runs on Saturday. He had some of the toss where he got outside and was able to get on the perimeter very quickly and outrun the defenders to the end zone. He got some of the tough yards going inside on the inside zone and the gap schemes and was able to power through some tacklers in there. And he did a very good job in pass protection. And for his stature, he's not the biggest guy, but he did a very good job of standing in there and picking up linebackers and blocking the edge in our pass protection. So a very complete game by LeVon, one that we're very happy with, but one we were very confident that he could deliver on.
I am quite sure that on Sunday, watching the film, and Saturday night on the bus ride home, talking about it among the coaches and then breaking it down with the players Sunday into Monday, there are some things to kind of pick apart. You always look for things to pick apart, but you know, for the average everyday person, you see Monmouth 51, Robert Morris 20, and the 20 maybe even a little bit misleading as they had scored a couple of fourth quarter touchdowns. What are you critical of your team after such a, you know, again, on paper and score-wise, a pretty dominant performance?
Well, you know, there's a number of things when you look at it. And when we get into the tough games that the Big South is going to bring us, you know, we can't have the same breakdowns that we had out at Robert Morris. For instance, we kicked three field goals in the red zone, but those have got to be converted into touchdowns. When we're down in that part of the field, we've got to come away with 7 points each time. And we were only 3 of 7 in terms of red zone touchdowns last week. And that's not good enough. We've got to be better than that. On the defensive side, we probably had our worst third down percentage of the season, and we've got to be able to get off the field on third down defensively. And then when we did play some younger guys on the defensive side, or on both sides of the ball, but it particularly showed itself on defense late in the game, in the fourth quarter, the game was definitely out of reach. It was won. The guys that we put in did not perform up to the level that we need them to play at. At some point over the course of the remainder of the season, those guys are going to be called on to be frontline players. They're going to have to get meaningful snaps and meaningful reps, and they've got to be able to perform at a more consistent and a higher level than they did on Saturday.
I would imagine even numbers-wise, the one that we have talked about a couple of times during the course of the season, which is one that you continue to hammer out at guys, I would think, during practice, the penalty numbers, which are still on the high side, even in a win in a game like that?
They were. They're still too high. They're going to hurt us at some point. They hurt us at bits on Saturday. But I think the performances on the both sides of the ball were dominant enough that we didn't feel the real effect of them. And then that's the hardest thing, you know, in dealing with the team, to get them to realize the effect that these penalties can have upon you when we weren't forced to feel the effect of them during the game on Saturday. So we've got to do a better job there. Some of them are the aggressive penalties by nature, a defensive pass interference. And, you know, being an old secondary coach, I've never seen a pass interference call that I agree with. I thought they were both excellent plays and probably should not have been called. Then we have some other ones that are bad judgment plays, and we've got flagged for. We've got to do a better job at that. We can't line up offsides. We can't have false starts. We can't have the late penalties at the end of a play that give the team an extra 15 yards. Those are the things that really get to me and really bother me, and they are the things that we have to stop.
Never, not one? You've never seen one
not
good
one,
call?
Not
even
one.
Even if a guy tackled the receiver along the way?
When the ball's in the air, both guys have an equal opportunity to go get it.
That is an old secondary guy speaking right from the heart. We'll take a quick time out here. We'll make it a 60-second break. When we come back, our first guest of the night, freshman center Alex Thompson, part of an offense that is leading the way with 434 yards per contest. We're back right after this with more of the Kevin Callahan Mom the Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we're back here for segment number two, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. He is a New Jersey native, and I have to be one to admit that when I heard Monmouth was picking up a guy from West Virginia to anchor the offensive line, I thought, boy, that's great. And then long did I find out he didn't play football down at West Virginia. He was a wrestler, and he is good enough to give us some time here. It is the freshman Alex Thompson. Alex, good to see you. How are you tonight?
I am pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing really well. And let's talk real quick about that transition for you just a little bit, because I would imagine, okay, you go down to West Virginia.
He's good.
Okay. Thank you, Eddie. You go down to West Virginia, you're all set to wrestle down there, go through a whole year, and then just decide this isn't where I want to be anymore and I miss football that much?
Yeah, well, my initial plan when I went down to West Virginia was actually do two sports. And I had a scholarship for wrestling, and the wrestling coach showed me I could go out for both sports. But, like, during wrestling season, the coach didn't want me to get injured during football, so he decided that like it wouldn't be best for the team. So I just asked for my transfer papers, and I thought Monmouth would be a best fit for me.
It sounds like you were tricked. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, I mean, you were one of the top wrestlers in New Jersey during your high school career. Won the whole thing, I believe, during your junior year?
Senior year.
Senior year,
yep.
Okay, senior year. And then you go down to West Virginia. Why? Let's ask you this. Why Monmouth? I mean, I know you're a New Jersey guy. You know the school. You probably know the area a little bit. But with the numbers and the reputation you had, not just as a wrestler but as a football player in high school, why do you feel like Monmouth was that fit for you?
Well, when I came on my visit, number one, they made me feel at home, and that's really important to me. And it was actually close to home, so that was even better. But they made me feel at home, and I liked the guys and the coaches, and I don't know. I liked the atmosphere when I came.
Well, you know, Matt, we were involved in recruiting Alex after high school. He went and spent a prep year up at Milford Academy, and Coach Gabriel and I had an opportunity to go up and visit with him there. And Alex had a fairly high level of interest in Monmouth. We brought him down with his family for an official visit, and at that time we felt that, you know, we had a great opportunity or a great chance of getting Alex to come here. Then the wrestling thing kind of came out of nowhere for
the
all of us.
The wrestling thing. I like that, Coach.
When, you know, Coach Gabriel told me he's going to West Virginia to wrestle. I said, he's doing what? What? Where? And that kind of came up quick on Alex. And next thing we know, he's off to West Virginia. It was only probably 4 or 5 months later that we got a phone call from him saying, you know, he had was going to change plans. He was going to shift gears a little bit and wanted to get back into football. And I think the fact that, you know, we had gone fairly deep into the recruitment process with him, and he enjoyed his visit here and got to know a number of the players in our program, I think certainly benefited us.
Well, let's talk about Alex, because you are now a little bit of an older guy. You get that prep year, you go through a year at college somewhere else, and then you walk back into Monmouth, and there is a spot open for you. I mean, I would imagine you didn't assume that it would be yours, but walking into the door a little little bit. You had to feel pretty comfortable that you'd be able to come in to contribute right away. But, you know, a guy who's a first-year collegiate football playing center, that's a heck of a responsibility for a guy.
Yeah, at this level, I know nothing's really handed to you. And I knew what I had to do to come in and earn a spot. So I wasn't really, like, panicking or anything. But I know I just had to work hard for the spot.
What's it like, or what's it been like, I guess, getting back into football? You know, for a lot of guys in their first year, especially if they're playing, and so many freshmen don't play, but for those that do, they kind of go through some ups and downs a little bit, you know, learn the system, obviously, deal with bigger, faster guys matched up with you on the other side of the ball, and maybe just some regular growing pains. Where do you feel like you're at in terms of your first collegiate football season?
Well, first of all, when I first got the pads, when it was just a rough day, like, trying to learn the plays and everything. Coach Morris yelling in my ear and everything, trying to get me to, like, learn everything. But after the first day, I felt like I was back into, like, my normal, like, habits of football and everything. So,
well, the great thing was that, you know, Alex really hadn't been away from football all that long. He played last fall up at Milford Academy and really only spent the one semester down at West Virginia. He enrolled there in January and then came to us in the summer, so late May, I guess it was, yeah, for the first summer session. He was on the Monmouth campus, and we were able to get him acclimated to the area, to the players on our team, and it was kind of a seamless transition there.
You know, it's been an interesting year, Alex, for Monmouth. Off to a great start, 4-1, and the offensive line, which was a big question mark going into the season, has really stood the test up pretty well so far. An offense that's averaging over 400 yards per game, 250-point games for the first five, 500-yard performances during the course of the season as well. But the offensive line has been nicked up as well. So it's not just been, you know, the same five guys. There's been 6, 7, 8, 9 guys who have been part of the rotation. So you've had to go pretty deep. But I would imagine as the season's gone on here, there's been a confidence level that's increased for you guys up front.
Well, definitely. I think a lot of the backups can actually step in. Like, they have the athletic ability to step in and get the job done, like Ryan Wessel stepping up and Dom Azzi even coming in a little bit. So I think that a lot of the guys, like, that came in and played for us, I think they could potentially be starters, like, in the long run as well. So, them coming in and stepping in for others, it hurt us, but it didn't hurt us as much as people think.
Well, it is, Alex. It is a great group. It's a group that we feel very, very good about. In a lot of ways, it's a young group. Like yourself, there's a lot of other first-year players. You mentioned Ryan Wetzel and Dom Esposito, who's only in his second year, who saw significant playing time so far. So it's a group that's learning together, they're growing together, and they're becoming a unit together.
Does it feel like it is your first year in college? I mean, as a, you know, because you did the prep year or the half year, you did a half year at West Virginia, so you're not really a true freshman, but do you feel like you are?
Football-wise, yeah, kind of. At some point, no, but at some points, like, the plays are more complicated, like, technique is a huge part of college football. So, like, at some points, yeah, but, like, the aggressiveness, not really. Like, I know I'm aggressive enough and everything, but, like, just technique wise and learning the plays and everything, getting to learn, like, scheme, I guess more scheme, I think that's a lot different.
It's a lot more detailed, yeah, than what you had before, I would imagine. And, you know, there is a lot that goes into it, but, you know, Alex, you're handling it well, not only the mental part of it in terms of making calls and understanding the total scheme within the offensive line, but certainly the physical part as well.
At what point have you thought during the course of a game, you know, maybe matched up against a tough guy across the way, I'm just going to shoot the leg and take him down? I mean, do you even think about wrestling anymore?
Well, not really, but Wagner game is a good game. Well, actually, Delaware State, we were watching film, and it's just like, I guess my wrestling, like, I guess mindset kicked in when I couldn't reach a guy. I'll try to, like, just slam him, kind of, but it's holding, of course.
Yeah, so that's when we got the holding penalties,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
That's part of it, though. You still have that wrestler mentality. How many guys have challenged you on the Monmouth team, you know, even just kicking around at the end? Because I'm sure everyone knows you were a very good to great wrestler in high school, and you had the opportunity to do that in college. Has anyone ever tried to, like, dance around and say, let's lock up a little bit?
Not really at all.
No one.
They play around and talk about it, but they never actually, like, try.
One's quite ready to take that step.
I don't blame them. I wouldn't either.
I wouldn't blame them either. Alex, you'll have the opportunity this week to look for another Monmouth win, wrap up the non-conference conference schedule at 5-1. The offense as a whole, you know, we talked about the offensive line kind of coming together. Do you feel like the offense as a whole has also clicked as a unit?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we're all working hard this week, trying to put everything together just like every other week. Coach Morris is getting us prepared along with Coach Gabe. Just working hard, trying to get ready for this Saturday.
Well, we appreciate you coming on here, giving us a couple minutes. Look forward to some more great stuff out of you, anchoring that middle part of the line this season and for years to come. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you on Saturday.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Alex.
Alex Thompson, freshman center here. We'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back, talk some special teams with kicker Lucas Santangelo. All right around the corner, the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Back to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310, and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. The Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show is MU getting set to take on the Lions of Columbia coming up on Saturday afternoon. It is a 1 o'clock kickoff. You can listen to it here on our AM stations, 1160, 1310 AM, along, of course, at shoresportsnetwork.com, mammothhawks.com as well. A 15-point performance, usually good for anyone, and for junior kicker Lucas Santangelo, a record-setting day in the Mammoth record book for the first time ever, a kicker eclipsing a 15-point mark. Lucas had 14 in a game earlier this year in which he was recognized after the season opening win against Delaware State as the Big South Special Teams Player of the Week. Eric Spillane had 14 points a couple of seasons ago as well, but 15 over the course of the week. Lucas, first of all, good evening and welcome to the show. For you, I would imagine that really makes you feel like you are a big part of this team now, pushing things forward.
Yes, it definitely does. You know, a lot of the times kickers are have a big portion of the team and could, you know, potentially put the team on top of the board and do the most that they could do and put, you know, as many points as they can together for this team.
6 of 10 so far this year. Field goals 19 of 19 point after, 37 points overall. That is good enough to lead the league, 7.4 points per game in the Big South in terms of the kickers. And, you know, you're a guy that I think Monmouth fans and those who follow the program, you're a name certainly that people have become accustomed to because you started here early on in your career with the kickoff chores the first couple of seasons, now moving into the field goal kicker with Eric Spillane having since graduated after last year. Talk about the process for you. You know, you come on, and as a freshman, there's probably a good opportunity that if you can kick, you can get yourself on the field right away. So having the exposure the first couple of years, I would think it has made it pretty easy for you.
Well, yes, absolutely. You know, you get a lot of – I got a lot of help from Eric, being the fact that, you know, as a freshman I came in starting as kickoffs, but he was the starting place kicker for already a year or 2 years, and he actually helped me with a lot of stuff that makes me who I am today and allows me to reach my full potential. And, you know, I got a lot of experience coming here and was fortunate enough to be the starting kickoff guy. And I love being able to get touchbacks and help my kickoff coverage and my kickoff team the whole way.
You know, Lucas, that's one of the things, you know, in addition to the points that you scored last Saturday out at Robert Morris, one of the more impressive things or most impressive things you did, you had 6 touchbacks on the day on kickoffs. And, you know, anytime we can force the other team not to bring it out of the end zone, it creates such a field position advantage for us. It allows our defense to start on deep in the opponent's territory and consequently give the ball back to our offense in really, you know, usually very good field position. But the other thing I just want to mention is, as you know, Lucas, and I don't know if a lot of people do, that a few weeks ago he was fighting through a small foot injury, was struggling a little bit hitting the ball, and last week or 2 weeks ago out at Lehigh, didn't have his best day, didn't have his best performance. And, you know, really to see him, you bounce back the way that you did this week out at Robert Morris, I thought was very impressive.
We got a bad mic right now. Coach, you know what? Why don't you swap with Lucas, and we can talk for a couple minutes, and
Great
we'll see
ahead.
If we can get this squared away here in the offing for just a minute. So it'll just be Lucas and myself here. Coach will hand the headset off. Lucas, let's talk about that a little bit. You know, the confidence, that one's that's not working for us right now, so we'll just go two-man game here. The confidence factor for you. You know, Coach says it became a little bit of an issue out at Lehigh. How does a kicker deal with that? How do you deal with lack of success?
Well, you know, just as any other player, you know, you got to bounce back as quick as possible. I don't want to make any excuses, and unfortunately I did have, you know, a bad day. But just as any other kicker or player on the field, everybody experiences a bad day. But it's how you bounce back from it, I believe, the next week. And I believe that, you know, in preparation throughout the week, that I did as much as I could. I went out extra time after practice, and I made sure that I was 100% that my head mentally was stable enough to be, you know, good and better than I was in the previous game. And I believe that I did a lot better, and I contributed well to the team.
You know, we had Ryan Moore on a couple weeks ago talking about just the art of being a kicker, and he went into how much goes into the preparation and the studying. You know, he mentioned some of the guys that he looked over in terms of professional guys. Is it the same for you? I mean, I know everyone has their own style, but there has to be guys that you kind of emulate in order to be like, and those are the guys you've grown up watching and say, okay, I want to kick like so-and-so. Who are those guys for you?
Right, well, I mean, absolutely. I have a couple guys in the NFL that I really do look, you know, up to. David Akers and Sebastian Janikowski, I would say, are my two favorite kickers.
Janikowski, he's a little bit wild card,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, lately he definitely has been. But I've also trained with, a few people that have played in the NFL, including Marquette King, the punter for the Raiders, and a couple other people. And there is a lot of preparation it takes for a kicker to be the best that he could be on the field. There are certain things that, you know, you just have to be perfect in, you know, your technique, everything about it. You know, it has to be the same every single time. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to be 100%.
You know, is it a situation, you're talking about some of the guys that maybe you've worked with or have worked for you. I mean, again, everyone has their own style. Do you get to a point a little bit where you can almost be too coached and have too many people telling you things to do?
I mean, you know, to me, I think that I could learn more and more every day. I'll always take in, you know, somebody else's perspective. I think that, you know, when you're learning from somebody else that has so much experience and that's been at the higher level, I think that there's you can't ever take enough in, and there's never enough training that you could have to put on the field, because the more you train, the better you will be.
Do you consider yourself to be, you know, I think especially at the collegiate level, there may be guys who, like you in your junior, your freshman and sophomore year before your junior year here now, you were the kickoff guy. You know, you necessarily didn't go out for the field goals or for the extra points. So in the first 2 years, you were a kickoff specialist, and this year you haven't relinquished those duties. If anything, I feel like you're hitting the ball better and longer this year. So off-season-wise, is it getting more strength? Is it just, again, continuing to practice at that craft so that, I mean, you've kicked the ball off 33 times, you've got 13 touchbacks, which is a pretty solid number overall.
Oh, yeah, well, you know what? I've gotten a lot more confident since my freshman year. I believe that I've gotten a lot more, you know, my technique and everything is the best that it could be at right now. And with working with Tim in the offseason, I believe that he has a lot to do with it, strengthening my core and my legs. I think that throughout every year, I've gotten a lot stronger and a lot better, and I believe that I could, you know, I kick the ball a lot further on kickoffs. I have a lot more touchbacks, as you can see, from freshman year to sophomore year. I had a dramatic change, you know, more than double, and I believe that this year I could do a lot more than I did last year.
Tim being, of course, Tim Ream, who is the strength and conditioning coach with the football program, and it is such a big part of the game, as Coach was alluding to before we had the mic issue. You know, that basically assures the defense of, hey, if he kicks it out of the end zone, the other team's going to start at the 25-yard line. There's no question of kickoff coverage. There's no question of a long return or something else happening like that. You know, Lucas, and this is Lucas Santangelo with this year, the junior kicker on the Kevin Callahan Mama Football Show. I'm interested to get this take for you, because I've asked Eric the couple of times that we had him on the show in the past, and I asked Ryan this a couple of weeks ago as well. How does a kicker make himself feel like he is part of the football team? Because during practice, you guys are kind of doing your own thing. You have that reputation, and every school does, and every kicker does, of being the kicker, you know, the guy who's kind of just off on the side. What does Lucas Santangelo do to make sure that those guys know, hey, I'm part of this team too? Not just going out and kicking field goals, but I mean during practice, in the locker room, things like that.
Well, you know, I believe that it all starts off the field. I try to participate in as many things as I can with my other players, and I believe that, you know, the more you do with them, the more you participate, and the more that you help them as a team and as a whole, they start to, you know, they begin to like you a lot more. and accept you. Instead of rather just being a kicker, you're just part of the team now. And I feel that, you know, since I have contributed a lot to the team, as you were talking about before with the touchbacks and everything, I like to give my kickoff team as little work as they can do. And when I can kick that many touchbacks, I feel that I'm not only helping my kickoff team, but I'm helping every other person on the team, because it makes it a lot easier for us to get a three and out or to get the ball back.
All right, so on Saturday, you had three field goals. You had the six extra points. You've got six field goals on the year of varying lengths. Let me ask you this question. How much of a discussion is it when it's a question, hey, fourth down and let's say two from a questionable spot on the field? He's not listening right now, so you don't even have to worry about what you're going to say because he doesn't have a headset on. Do you go up to coach and say, I can hit it, or is that not really part of the equation? Or in simple part, what's your range? Where can you hit the ball from comfortably?
Well, that's funny because back 2 weeks ago at Lehigh, Coach Cal came up to me and he asked me if I was confident enough in hitting, I believe it was a 47-yard field goal. And, you know, of course I'm going to tell Coach Cal, yes, I am, and I have to be positive. I don't make any excuses. I was suffering a little bit from an injury, but that has nothing to do with it. Like I said, it's how you bounce back. And to me, I have a decently strong leg. Coach Cal and the other coaches have seen me hit from, you know, plus 60 yards. I've hit from, you know, 63. And I believe that if it came down to it, that if they needed me to kick a very long field goal, I'm definitely confident enough to hit from wherever they need me to hit from.
I like the confidence. It's certainly a big, important part for any kicker. Lucas, looking forward to some big numbers out of you for the rest of the season. Enjoy your week leading into the homecoming, and we'll see you on Saturday afternoon.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
That is Lucas Santangelo, junior kicker, off to a great start. The number one kicker right now in the Big South. Let's take a quick time out here. When we come back, we'll talk things over on the defensive side of the ball with senior defensive end Zach Irizarry right after this quick break on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show.
This is the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
And we welcome you back here from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. A big performance out of this guy. One of the reasons that Monmouth had that successful game against Robert Morris, 51-20. His senior defensive lineman, Zach Irizarry, who we say good evening to. How are you, Zach?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you on the show here tonight. And I want to jump right into the game that you had on Saturday. I would have to think in the back of your mind somewhere you said this was the best game I've had as a collegiate player. Five tackles, three tackles for a loss, 2.5 sacks. At what point did you just feel like this was a day that Robert Morris, at least against you, couldn't really slow you down or stop you?
Oh, it was actually before my first sack. I missed a couple, and I was my defensive line coach was like, you need to get one. You keep missing. And I was telling them I'm going to get one, and I'm going to get more than that after. So.
Well, you had a big day, 2.5 on the day, and more tackles for a loss. An interesting road for you, Zach, to kind of get to the spot that you're in right now in a member of the very deep, you know, defensive line rotation. You're a guy who, when you came to Monmouth, you were an outside linebacker. You made that switch sophomore year. Didn't really see a whole lot or any playing time the first 2 years, but worked your way into the rotation last year, and now you're a big part of it. Was it frustrating for you at any point? You know, when you look back at it the first couple of years, did you just feel like that was part of making the transition to college football?
Yeah, I never thought of myself as a defensive end, but when the coaches and me talked about it, I was happy to make that change so I could get on the field any way I could. So that's just the decision I made, and I'm happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the numbers and stats in terms of how tall and how big you are, 6'2", 235. That's not really a defensive end number. But you bring that pass rush element that has been so important to Monmouth over the course of the last couple of years. I would think that when it's 2nd and 9, 3rd and 7, you put your hand up and just say, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, those are the downs I'm excited for and the ones that I live for, honestly, as of now.
You think about the defensive effort that you guys had overall on Saturday against Robert Morris. I mean, not just you, but everyone had big numbers. 7 sacks on the day, 4 four fumbles that you guys recovered caused a whole bunch more than that. The two interceptions, one of you brought back. Is that a day that at the end of it, you guys just all have big smiles on your face knowing that you had done the job?
Yeah, you know what it is on the defensive line, we all challenge each other to who's going to have the best game, who's going to make the most plays. And all together, we have our own competition, and we push each other.
You know, we've talked about that with some of the guys that we've had on. I feel like up front in the defensive side, when all of you guys know that you're going to play, and everyone kind of has a role, you know, maybe on first and second or running downs, Demetrius in the middle, and then he comes out on passing downs, and a guy like you comes in, and maybe somebody else slides over. I'm sure there's competition, but it does seem like within that unit for sure, everyone's on the same page and everyone's okay with what their role and their job has to be.
Yeah, the biggest thing is that we're all fresh and we're all good friends with each other. We all are pretty close, so we know that we're sharing time and we're sharing time with our friends.
You know, some of the guys that have had big days up until this point, the linebackers, they got a ton of tackles so far this year. John Sikowski leads the way. He's got 40. There's Tyler Thompson with 31, Peyton Minnick with 20, Dan Sevelin up there as well. And a lot of those numbers are based off of what you guys do up front. Do they ever say thank you? Do the linebacker guys ever say, like, hey, thanks for keeping those guys off?
I don't think so. Not that I recall.
Nobody gives a thank you. Nobody says, like, hey, I made that tackle because you tied up that right tackle for me. I would make some suggestions during practice maybe tomorrow.
Yeah, I might poke them a little bit.
Every once in a while,
why don't
you guys say thank you? You know, the defense has had some ups and downs during the course of the year. You know, a lot of ups for sure in some of the big wins that Monmouth has had. And maybe that one down was that first half against Duquesne where you guys didn't necessarily have it on that day. And I would think in a day like that, you know, you look back and you say, boy, if we just would have come out, and it's not the defense's fault, I'm not trying to indicate that, but if you would have come out as a team a little bit more and said, we need to play four quarters on this day, that's another win. But sometimes it just doesn't work that way, right? I mean, you're playing other good football teams who are going to try to exploit what Monmouth might not do so well.
Yeah, we just made some mistakes that game, but I think we fixed a bunch of them, and we're working hard in practice, and so that doesn't happen again.
How important do you feel like this week coming up is against Columbia? You know, you guys have been on the road for three. Not that fans have kind of lost touch with the team, but it's been a while since you've been home, so now you have a chance to come back home on homecoming, and then you get a bye week before everything starts in the Big South. This is a big game against Columbia.
Yeah, it is. It would be awesome to be 5-1, and I think it'd be awesome to give our homecoming crowd a good win.
You know, you are among those older type guys who have seen days in the Northeast Conference last year as an independent, and now moving into the Big South. You know, thinking about it, and you still have obviously the whole rest of the season left. But it's been pretty special to have been a part of where Monmouth football was, where it was last year, and now this year where it's kind of headed.
Yeah, it's exciting that us guys now are a part of the change and of Monmouth football, and we're stepping into a right direction, and it's going to be pretty cool to see what happens in the future.
Have you done a little bit more? I mean, I know you always focus on the game at hand, but have you started to even look at some of the games that you might play the second part of the season when the conference schedule starts? Because short of Liberty, it's all brand new teams. You know, have you started to keep an eye on what a Presbyterian or a Gardner Webb, what they've been doing just during the course of the year so far?
Yeah, we're all looking at who's performing well on those teams and doing a little scouting, I guess. Not too much because we're focusing each week on our current opponent. But, yeah, I'm excited to play some of those new teams. Go down and fly down in South Carolina.
Yeah.
It'd be exciting.
Should be a lot of fun. Your eyes just got big. Your food just came out, so we're going to let you go. Coach and I will finish it up with a little preview of Columbia. Zach, we appreciate you coming by. Great game on Saturday. Continued success during the course of the season, and we'll talk to you down the line.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
No problem. That is Zach Irizarry, the defensive lineman. Big day for him, part of a Monmouth defense, which continues to churn things out. Let's take a quick timeout. When we come back, Coach and I will wrap it up with a little segment on Columbia. This is the Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
Back to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and WOBMAM.com.
last segment for us here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show as we get set for MU taking on Columbia this week. Homecoming day, 1 o'clock kickoff here on our AM stations, Shore Sports Network, MonmouthHawks.com. Coach and I with a couple of minutes to break down that one. But, you know, I don't believe we've done this over the course of the last couple weeks, Coach, and a good maybe chance as conference play will start this week in the Big South to look and see where everybody's at. You know, I saw the league send out their kind of post-week report, and it has been a great season so far for the Big South. Coastal Carolina 6-0, Charleston Southern 5-0, Monmouth 4-1, Presbyterian 3-2, Gardner-Webb and Liberty both 3-3. That's not a whole lot of losses when you think in terms of who everyone has played so far.
No, it's not, Matt. And as a matter of fact, the Big South is 19-5 against other conferences or other conference opponents on the season so far. So it's a great start by everybody in the conference. A few weeks ago, there was three conference members in Coastal Carolina, Liberty, and Charleston Southern, all in the top 25. There's two still remain in the top 25. And it's the number two rated FCS conference right now in terms of the power index. So there's a lot of great football being played. It's going to be a very, very difficult, very challenging five-game stretch that we will pick up once we begin conference play in 2 weeks.
Yeah, those two teams right now, Coastal Carolina 6-0, they're the number three team in the country, and Charleston Southern 23 or 24, depending on what poll you're looking at, 23 in the coaches, 24 in the media poll, and Liberty, who has played a brutal schedule so far. And, you know, that's what I think I've noticed so much in a lot of weeks, not every week, but a lot of weeks, the opponents of which Monmouth will start to become more familiar with next year when you can play some of those FBS teams. Some of the teams that these guys are matched up with, they are the big boys of college football.
It certainly is. It's incredible. And you look at just some of the teams that people have played. We've played Northern Illinois. We've played North Carolina. We've played North Carolina State. We've played Vanderbilt. We're playing Ole Miss. We're playing South Carolina. Those are all games coming up here in the very near future. And there's probably a couple more in there that I haven't mentioned. But the Big South, you know, really steps up when they go into non-conference games. Everybody has an FBS game on their schedule, if not two or three in the case if you look at Presbyterian. You know, and Monmouth will have those games on the schedule as we get into 2015 and beyond.
Yeah, six-team league slate right now. Where everyone will start to play each other this week. Monmouth will have a bye next week and then start what will be a five-game stretch at the end part of October and then the first 4 weeks of November. Let's take a peek at what is coming up this weekend for the Hawks, and that is the Lions of Columbia, a team that Mama saw last year, had good success against. They're a little bit behind because the Ivy League starts later than most college conferences do, 0-3, and I feel like a team a lot like Robert Morris that just hasn't quite figured it out where they should be at this point of the year.
You know, they've kind of been up and down throughout the year. They opened up with Fordham. That was their first game, and Fordham's a highly ranked, a very, very good team. And, you know, Fordham kind of took it to them in that one. Then they come back in the next week, and they traveled up to Albany at the time when Albany was number 24 in the nation. Albany scored quickly, got out to an early lead, and then Columbia settled down, but there was almost too much too early for them to come back and make up for. And then last week they played, I think, their best game of the season thus far. They were beating Princeton 6-3 at the half. Princeton didn't really take control of that game until early in the fourth quarter. So I've seen the improvement in this Columbia team as they've moved through the first 3 weeks. They're a team that has an excellent offense led by their quarterback, a Stanford transfer, and he's a guy that we didn't see last year because he was out with an injury. So what I've seen of him on video so far is certainly somebody that, you know, we're going to have our hands full with.
Yeah, that is Brenton Nottingham, who was Andrew Luck's backup at Stanford before transferring, didn't play last year, will be in the lineup on Saturday against Monmouth. It's a team that you guys played last year, we played last year. It was a 34-14 win. How much does last year's game kind of help in just preparation? Because Columbia, not a team that, you know, Monmouth has a whole lot of history against.
Well, it certainly helps in that it's the same coaching staff. They're using the same schemes on offense and defense. So we have a familiarity with what they're going to do from a schematic standpoint there. In addition to that, several of the players are guys who we played against last year. So, I mean, that familiarity helps in your preparation. I think the biggest thing is that you understand or you know a little bit about the personality of the team. And by that, Matt, I mean how they play the game, what their approach is, and all that helps when it comes to preparing for somebody.
Let's talk about the this might be our last one, as I know we're getting up against it. Let's talk about the attitude right now of your team. Do you feel like there's any kind of sense of complacency because of the wins that Monmouth has had, especially the last couple weeks? A come-from-behind win against Lehigh and then a dominant win over Robert Morris. Do you guard against that?
Well, you certainly guard against it, but I haven't sensed that, Matt. As we go through each one of the games here, there's plenty of things, being such a young team, that we need to improve upon. And as a coaching staff, we point those things out each and every week. And our goal each week is to be 1 week better than we were the last time out. Our last two games, we've performed well. We've kind of raised the level of our own expectations in terms of how we can perform. We want to continue to push those expectations even higher. We want to continue to push ourselves to be a truly good team.
And for the first time in a month, fans will have an opportunity to come out and see just exactly how good this team could be.
And we're looking forward to it. It's good to be home. It's good to be off the road and not playing in Pennsylvania. It'll be good to play at Kessler Field in front of the home crowd.
Coach, we appreciate the time this week, and thanks for getting the show. Sorry that we had to bump you off for a little while, but, you know, those are the breaks.
That's all right. Take it for the team.
All right. That is the head coach, Kevin Callahan. Monmouth back at home this week against Columbia. Catch it here on the Shore Sports Network, MonmouthHawks.com. Our thanks to Alex Thompson, Lucas Santangelo, and Zach Irizarry. For the coach, Kevin Callahan, I'm Matt Harmon, saying so long from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End. This is the Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.
This has been the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. News Talk Radio, WOBM AM 1160 and 1310 and ShoreSportsNetwork.com. Join us again next Tuesday when we broadcast live from Jack's Goal Line Stand in the West End section of Long Branch and talk Hawks football. For more on Monmouth football, visit www.monmouthhawks.com.